right, welcome back to Shakedown Shan. I hope you all had a fabulous week or two. Yesterday, I actually braved the chilly weather and went hiking on my second favorite mountain. So yesterday, it was pretty cloudy, a little rainy, and I had planned a hike and decided to do it anyway, despite the weather. And I'm really glad that I did, because I got to the top and the sun came out and the clouds started rolling away, and great view. And right across from the mountain that I hiked is my favorite mountain, Hadley Mountain. They're like directly across from each other. And from Spruce Mountain, you can see the fire tower on Hadley Mountain. It's incredible. And so it's awesome to be able to, when I hike Hadley Mountain, I know that the mountain that I see right across the valley is my other favorite mountain. they have really good summits, really interesting. I took Rothbard up there, and he's so funny. We got to the top, he's running around and stuff, and like he does really good off the leash. Just sticks with us. He must have done like twice the amount of miles that we did, because he would like sprint up and sprint back at the whole time we were walking it. It's really funny. But so we got to the top, and along the way there's like, you know, those pile of rocks people will make and stuff. Well, there's one at the top of the mountain in this like clearing area. And all of a sudden, Rothbard started, like, barking and growling and, like, was afraid of something. And I thought something was in the bushes, like, on the edge of the clearing. But no, to come to find out, as we got closer to the rock pile, he was barking at the rock pile.
Oh, dear.
He's, like, afraid of the rocks. And at first, I was like, oh, you're such a good protector. Look at you. You're telling me something's over there. And then it turned out to be a pile of rocks.
So now when you go, you don't know if it'll be a bear or a pile of rocks.
Right. That is. What a great protector. But yeah, it was a good hike. Noah had a blast. I had a blast. And Rothbard loved it. He just absolutely loves being off the leash, running free through the woods.
That's neat.
It's fun.
Yeah. Unless, you know, I've never hiked up a mountain or anything, but it always seemed like a lot of fun. You're outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. We saw a lot of cool things, and the trail that we took is not marked the best, because it's on private land. It's not like a trail that people frequently hike. It's really just my family and friends of the family that hike it, and so I mean, we have markers up and stuff. But there's certain points in the trail where a few of the trees have fallen down that had markers. Oh. And so you're like, oh, which way does the trail go now? So good thing I had a good memory, because I haven't done this hike in like maybe like 5 years or so. And those little rocky points, I was able to figure it out. I was like, I think I remember going this way. We could have got lost.
So if a tree falls down and the arrow's pointing down, do you have to dig a hole and say, who put this here?
So it gets really confusing at some points, because there's the trail splits at a few different points, because you can end up taking the other trail and going up a different mountain, or you can continue on Spruce Mountain. And so they split, and it'll have a sign saying an arrow this way and an arrow that way, but nobody wrote down which way was what way.
Oh.
So it's like, okay, well, where does trail A go? Where does trail B go? I'm like, oh, we're just going to keep going this way.
I think
it worked out.
I assume the mountain got its name by that, because there's so many spruce trees, evergreen trees there.
Yes.
Okay.
I think so.
Yeah, I would assume.
You know, I'm not really familiar with trees and what a spruce tree looks like, but we kept seeing this one tree, and we couldn't figure out what it was. And so I was like, I wonder if it's a spruce tree. This is Spruce Mountain. And yeah, that would make sense.
Well, it's an evergreen with real short needles.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm not really sure. But that was my hike. That was my weekend. And other than being miserable that it was 30 degrees when I woke up this morning.
I know.
I mean, the best part about that is You can keep a bottle of water in your car overnight. When you come back to it in the morning, it's colder than when you got it.
I know.
No more hot water bottles. So anyway, Brett Kavanaugh, we talked about him last time.
Mm-hmm.
He ended his vote ended up going to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like nothing came out of the FBI investigation. They were leaving it classified, right? Or not opening it to the public?
Right now.
Right now. Which to me says they didn't find what they wanted to.
No, all the senators, see, they put it in a room that nobody can get into. And mm-hmm. all the senators can go in and read it. And even some of the Democrats said there's nothing new. It's funny. They interviewed all the people that all three women listed as witnesses, and none of them corroborated their stories. So now that Democrats want to open the investigation again and interview everybody, so even the one that backed out and said her story was a lie, they want to interview her friends.
Right. It just, to me, it's silly that they're going to make this huge public spectacle, and then as soon as they do an FBI investigation, they won't release anything.
I know.
But it had to be this huge...
Well, even the FBI said, the FBI came out and said that they interviewed the scope that the senators wanted it to be, and that they found nothing new. So, and that's all they can do. They can't make a judgment. They just present what they found.
Mm-hmm.
They said they didn't find anything new. So that's that. But, you know, I found out one interesting thing.
Hmm.
That if you're the newest Supreme Court justice, you have to do kitchen duty for a year.
Really?
You know, and I think this is so funny for these people. You have to plan the meals because they must eat there a lot because of the cases. Excuse me. And you have to plan the meals and plan the desserts for every meal that they have there.
Oh, that's funny.
And Justice Ginsburg, who's probably 97, and, you know, she's like that little short old lady. She goes, I feel sorry for him because it's not a glamorous job. So they all take turns, to whoever is the newest one on. And I think that's kind of neat, you know.
It's kind of neat.
What is it, a college fraternity or something, you know, where you give somebody the crazy things to do. But I just thought that was kind of funny.
That's kind of funny. That's an interesting fact.
Yeah.
So not much new on the Brett Kavanaugh thing. Something that is just recently happened is Facebook decided to boot off a whole bunch of pages and accounts of like right wing or conservative leaning pages. I mean, a lot of pages that I follow have been booted, and one of them is actually the Free Thought Project, who they have really good content, very libertarian based, and it's really just about like thinking for yourself and going off the principles of libertarianism. And they weren't too radical, like not like burn the White House down radical, but mm-hmm. they were just more like think for yourself. And so they got the boot. And so I always think, or I've always said that, like, yes, Facebook as a private company, well, as much as you can say it is, but for simple terms, Facebook as a company has the right to decide what it wants and doesn't want on its platform. However, Facebook isn't solely a private company because of how much work it does with the government.
Mm-hmm.
So can you really say that Facebook is like a private entity? And they've also been granted platform status. And platform status means that they can't censor what is on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets really gray whether or not they have the right to do this or not. And if they didn't have their hands in government's pockets and they weren't granted platform status, yes, I would say they would have every right to just go through and kick off like hundreds of pages.
Right.
And it's also kind of fishy that we're so close to midterm elections that they're out here trying to get all these other viewpoints out. Because we all know Zuckerberg is more on the left side.
Mm-hmm.
And
they didn't get the boot.
And they didn't. Yes, they didn't get the boot. Why aren't we kicking off socialists?
Right.
Why?
Well, I think what they're saying is, too, is that he's going to have to testify before Congress to why he's picking and choosing. And and I feel that if you have Facebook, I mean, everybody doesn't think the same if you have Facebook. So I don't see why certain pages should be kicked off, because, I mean, you may have Facebook so that you not only to keep in touch with friends.
Right.
But to learn something from, you know.
From other people.
Yeah, from the media pages.
And it's just. So if Facebook wasn't into the government's pockets and everything and trying to advocate for a certain side as a company, I would say, yes, they have all the right to boot people off. But also, because they have that right, if they weren't doing all this other stuff with the government, if they, let's just say they have that right to do that, we as individuals have the right to be angry about it and protest it. And so I see people saying, oh, well, I see a lot of people on the libertarian side saying, well, Facebook's a private company. They can do what they want. Okay. Well, if you think that, I still have the right to be angry about it and say that it's not right, because free market, that's how people protest and get changes done. And when they don't like something, they make it known.
Mm-hmm.
So it's. Right now, there's this like a little bit of conflict kind of in the libertarian circle that people are trying to advocate for private business and freedom of speech and the right to protest. And it's just we got all this clashing going on over here right now.
Yeah.
When really it should be us getting together and showing that it's not right. And why? Because they're not technically a private business and they have platform status.
Mm-hmm. And then too, I wonder, I mean, he didn't go too crazy when 50 million accounts got hacked.
Right.
And I mean, I think everybody's account was hacked, because I know mine was, because he kept getting friended by people that you were friends with. And if you friended him again, then you were in trouble. But it's just that whole thing, social media, and you kind of knew it was going to get out of hand by the number of people that were in Facebook. I mean, there's a lot of people that have Facebook.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, now they take advertisements, and who knows where the money comes from some of the political advertisements, but I don't know. It's just
fishy that we're so close to midterm elections. Yeah. And they're obviously Facebook has an agenda. They're working with somebody, and it's just, I don't feel that's right that it's a social media platform. And I think everybody should have the right to put their views out. If that's how you're advocating your platform, that everyone gets a voice, everyone should get a voice.
Well, it's like a newspaper. I mean, you may have a left-leaning newspaper, but they do have an editorial section where you can write a letter to the editor opposing views, and that's okay. I mean, that's not a problem. So I don't see why a social media outlet wouldn't have that same right. Give its customers the same right, you know.
Right. And I mean, a lot of these people used Facebook to build up their following and actually like make money on there through their page. They have like apparel and stuff that they use that they sell through their page. They have like subscribers that pay monthly fees and
businesses, all kinds of businesses. I mean, if you you go to a website for almost any business, you know, they'll have a Facebook page, a Twitter account.
Mm-hmm. Twitter's ways. Booting a lot of people off too.
Yeah.
It's really scary. And I'm always saying it's just like 1984. You've read that book, right?
Yep. By George Orwell.
Yeah. And it really, really is. And what was it the other day that I was saying was like it? I don't know. I was like last week or something. Oh, the presidential text alerts.
Yeah.
So I have a weird feeling. Like, I know that government can always get into your phone, everything like that, especially with the Patriot Act, the peeking thing. I forgot what it was called. They can tap into anything, your computer, your phone, whatever. But like these presidential alerts just make me even more aware of how easy it is for them to get into my stuff. Cause especially if you have direct access to everybody's phone in the whole country, it's easier. Like, yes, it could already happen to hack into your phone and look at everything, but it's easier to do that if you have direct access set up to everybody's phone like that.
Yeah, but the only reason I think that's good is because you don't remember this because you're too young, but when I was in school, grade school mainly, like up to eighth grade, they did it. They used to have a drill, and usually it was like the Wednesday before Thanksgiving because we only had half a day, but you had to practice getting under your desk and then...
Duck and cover?
What's that?
Duck and cover?
Yeah, and then the school bell would ring and the fire departments would blow their whistles and you had to go home. You had to go right home, and it was kind of like a drill in case, you know, we got bombed or something. But and that's what would happen if we had a real disaster. They wanted to practice that. So in a way, with people having cell phones and they're not listening to TV and it's not being done in school, in a way, I'm glad they did that, because at least you know there's a warning system out that will alert you to anything. And they do it on TV, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. But I understand what you're saying about them being able to get into every phone.
Right. Like, you know, in 1984, how everyone had those telescreens that they were being watched through. And they also had the thought police, because all their thoughts were monitored.
Mm-hmm.
And if they started thinking something bad, the people would pop up on the screen. And you couldn't hide from anything. You were always being watched. Your brain was always being read. And so, I mean, this direct access to your phones, that gives direct access to the camera, to the microphone, to everything like that. And it's scary, because that's exactly what the telescreens were.
Right.
The government in that book had direct access to those telescreens, which gave them direct access to the camera and the microphone and everything. You're constantly being watched. And so this is just really, really scary that this thing that I keep with me everywhere I go, they can just pop in and listen to me.
Right.
Like, and I'm sure there were ways for them to do that before, but it makes me 10 times more aware now. And just as soon as it happened, I was like, oh my God, I'm living in 1984. This is crazy.
Do you remember a few years ago, the TVs that they were making, that the Japanese were making, that the camera, they had a camera in the TV, like you were saying, and it would stay on after you turn the TV off?
That's scary.
Yeah.
I've never had a TV with a camera.
Well, it was some, you know, like a large TV screen, and they found out about it, and I think they don't import them anymore or whatever. But yeah, I remember
that.
It's
scary.
Yeah, it is.
And like the Chinese with the facial recognition technology they're using, and they're giving their citizens social scores they're being watched, and their facial recognition is so good that they literally screen everybody just walking through, and you get scored on your behavior, on your purchases, and so many other things. And say you have a really bad score, you can't like book hotel rooms, you can't do certain things, you can't leave the country. It's scary.
Yeah.
It's very scary. That's even more like 1984.
And I mean, you know, it's funny because people say, gee, all Americans look alike, but all Chinese people look alike. How can they, how can they do that?
Right.
I mean, and I'm sure every country, they say the same thing, you know, gee.
Well, yeah, everyone in one area, except foreigners, are pretty much going to look the same to outsiders. Right. But, I mean, they really do. They all have basically the same color hair.
Mm-hmm.
We have a little bit more diversity with hair. But, I mean, America was built on all the immigrants.
Right. And
so we're going to have a little bit more diversity.
Right. Even in our features.
Yeah.
Where Chinese people, they have pretty much the same features.
They were isolated for years and years. And so they kept a lot of their original features intact. And so, yeah, and it's so heavily populated there that how do they possibly have a profile for every person?
I don't know, man. That's a huge populated country, boy, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Well,
and they try to keep the population down.
Yeah, you can only have two kids, right?
One.
One kid?
Yeah.
It's one kid now?
One child. And if you... how does it go now? If you have a girl, they will take it and euthanize it so you can just have one male, because they want to keep the population down, so they don't want, you know, children in the future right now. So that's why there were so many adoptions in the U.S. of Chinese baby girls, because they didn't want them either to terminate the pregnancy or come to the house after the baby was born, because the hospital reports it, and then they take your baby away. So that's why there were so many Chinese adoptions. But then they stopped that, which I don't understand why, but yeah.
There was, I saw the other day in the news, there's someone running for senator somewhere. He wants to have a child tax if you have more than two kids, which is following the Chinese way.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like, but he said having more than two children is irresponsible and there should be a child tax.
You know, I think I did hear that.
And I can't remember his name, but, I want to say he was a Republican. In that I saw some Democratic page put it out. I don't really remember the details.
I don't know, but that's kind of ridiculous, actually.
It is ridiculous. A tax is ridiculous to me. And B, taxing someone for having more than two children is even more ridiculous. What if you have a farm?
Yeah.
What if you need those kids? It's not irresponsible. Well, everyone that has more than two kids isn't necessarily irresponsible.
No. My dad came
out of a family of like six sisters and one brother.
Yeah, my father had...
So he's one of eight?
Yeah, my father had six sisters and three brothers.
They were all taken care of. It's just there's... So many stereotypes get into the way, and people think that having more children means that they're not taken care of. That's really not true. But taxing people, they're just so desperate for money. So desperate to take away our money. And they're trying to get it on every means possible.
Yeah.
Let's see. So another issue that I saw. So I do have an article here about this guy who got the death penalty. He was from Texas. A Texas inmate who taunted a jury to sentence him to death was executed Wednesday evening for torturing and drowning an East Texas woman in his bathtub and then stuffing her body into a barrel. Oh my gosh. This happened in 1998. He was a drug dealer and thought that the girl would snitch on him. It says he laughed as he addressed several friends watching through a window, telling them a number of times that he loved them and that it's all good. He goes, "I'm not the one who killed Christina, but hey, whatever makes you happy." So this is what he was sentenced for, and he's just saying that that's not true. That's not what happened. He said, "I didn't do it." And I don't know if they have the evidence. This doesn't have anything about the case and the evidence and all that, but this is just about his execution. He was maybe 3 weeks ago executed, given the death penalty. He got lethal injection, and as it was going in, the guy was laughing and said it was burning as he was going in, that he could feel it. And then he fell asleep, and like 20 minutes later was pronounced dead. And it's just crazy, because what if this guy actually didn't do it? Right. I'm not sure. I don't know the evidence and how the trial went, but I saw this and I'm so against the death penalty, because I mean, yeah, there's a lot of bad people in the world, and keeping the really extremely bad people in the world in prison is just a waste of our money as a taxpayer, because we have to pay for that. But I don't think giving the state the power to take life away is going to... That's a crazy thing to give someone.
Yeah.
Especially a government. To give the state the kind of power that... I mean, especially if you're religious, the kind of power that a god should have.
Mm-hmm.
That's where things get bad, is when you start giving government and leaders god complexes,
right?
And like powers that nobody else should have. And I mean, we've seen it in history. When you give people that kind of power, it corrupts, it goes bad. And that's why the death penalty is not allowed in a lot of places, but Texas still has it. They're known for the death penalty, they're tough. But I don't agree with the death penalty, and I find it kind of hypocritical that you have all these people that, and especially like religious people, who are okay with the death penalty under certain circumstances, but yet they fight against abortion,
mm-hmm.
and say that that's the murder of a child. Okay, well, lethal injection of a murderer is still murdering a person.
Right.
So what makes it any different?
It doesn't. I mean, you either have to go for both of them.
Right.
Or oppose both of them.
You either are okay with murdering people or mm-hmm. not.
Exactly.
And they get into it, and they try to justify it by saying, well, I don't believe in the murder of individuals, but I believe in the state of the land, or the law of the land. And it's extremely hypocritical. I mean, you're either pro-life or not.
Right.
And pro-life means pro-life across the board.
I would think so.
That's what you would think. So, I mean, I feel the death penalty is very inhumane, and it's a very scary power to give to the state. But I also feel that if you're going to be against abortion, you should be against the death penalty as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I fall on that one.
Hey, the only thing I could find on child limit was a Republican senator. Where was it? I don't know, Huntington. But I
Huntington?
He said they want to limit the number of foster children a couple can have from 6 to 5, because they found that it's traumatic for the kids to have too many children,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a social service program. And so they want to reduce it by one child.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But that's the only thing I could find.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'll have to find it. I saw it while I was just looking for stuff the other day. So what else? I saw something else.
And in a way, just before, maybe you can think while I'm harping on this, the only thing I can say is about the foster parent program. I mean, in a lot of cases, there's, because I know a couple that took in foster kids, but then ended up adopting them, and they were all mentally challenged. And they ended up adopting them, so they didn't have to get aid. And I think they had 5 or 6 of them. And they had their house burned in they're in, from the area, and they lost one of the children. I don't know if you remember reading about that, but
I don't know.
But see, a lot of people take in foster kids because they can get money from the county.
It's disgusting.
And I think if you have 7 or 8 of these kids, it can be traumatic on the kids because you're not going to stay at that house.
Right.
You're going to go into the adoption system, and then they'll get another 1 or 2 kids so that they, you know, and I think that's wrong. I think
that
they
is wrong
should
to
limit.
Incentivize
right.
the government aid taking in foster kids.
Yeah,
it should
and
be
I
because
think
you want
how you
to
want
help.
To. And there should be a limit on how many foster kids a couple can have.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I can see that. But. Yeah, I can't see limiting the number of children.
And the foster care system is so messed up. It's just a lot of the homes aren't good homes. There's not enough room for these kids. Mm-hmm. A lot of these people are bad people that there's a lot of good people too.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there's good and bad everywhere.
Right.
But the foster care system needs to be reformed completely, and
I think all social programs need to be looked at and changed because they've been in effect for so long that things may not pertain to the way
right.
things are today.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there are kids that need help, and there are parents that would love to have a foster child and end up adopting it maybe. But to abuse the system so that you can get every check you can because you've got these kids, and like you said, they may be overcrowded housing, and you're not doing the children any good. It's just
no.
you getting more money.
And then that money doesn't even go to those children.
Right.
Right.
And really the county or the whoever is overseeing that program really isn't going to come down hard, but because at least the children are out of
the system.
System.
Yeah.
But yet, if you adopt a child, boy, they come in and they go over every room in your house and, you know.
Yep.
I don't know. It's crazy.
And, I mean, something that would help the number of children in foster care dwindle is if CPS would just get their nose out of situations that didn't need them
mm-hmm.
and stop taking away kids from families that are fit to have kids.
Right.
There's so many kids in foster care that should have just stayed with their parents, but didn't because CPS, for some reason, deemed that family unfit for children for no reason at all. I think I have something here about that. I found another thing. This mom regains custody of a 10-month-old son who was taken by CPS because she left the hospital too quickly. So, this is from Reason Magazine. It's a quick little article. So this lady, her son was taken by CPS. She didn't stick around the hospital for a second opinion on his cough. And, she just finally got custody. I printed this on the 27th of, September. So it's pretty recent. Let's see. 4 months and 6 court days later, the judge ruled that the nurse who claimed this girl's actions left her child in danger of dying has been engaged in disinformation. So her child was taken away from her and put in foster care for 4 months. This lady had to go to 6 different court dates to try to get her child back because her child had a cough, and she took him to the hospital and stuff, and everyone was telling her there was nothing wrong with it. And so she decided to leave. And one of the nurses that was there had been misinformed or had changed information. It says she was engaged in disinformation. So she changed information on the records and was written down that the child was in danger of dying. Where that's not what they told her. They told her that the child was fine. So she left. And so the information was changed. CPS was called. And they went to this lady's house and took away her home or took away her child. She said, it says it all started in May when she brought her kid to the hospital for a cough. Doctors determined he was fine and stable. After a very long wait for another doctor for a second opinion, the lady decided to go home and signed that she was leaving. Again, the next day, her son was immediately taken away by CPS for medical neglect. So while this kid was in foster care, he took his first steps. She didn't even get to see her son's first steps because of all of this craziness. And think about, I mean, the child is very young, but still that is going to have, not seeing his mom for 4 months is going to have an impact on him somehow. Hopefully it doesn't, but it could. It could have a really, maybe you won't see it for years later. But
there's some mother-child bond.
Right, yeah. And leave it to CPS to try to say they're saving families, but really they're just breaking up
families. And look how much money it cost her. And
money. She probably had to take time off work.
Right.
The trauma of not having her child. She didn't get to see the first steps. And those are important things.
And that's where I say they should be reined in, because there's no reason why they couldn't go the next day for her to explain what had happened.
Right.
And they could have probably cleared that up in a day.
Right. And instead they came and took the child the next day.
Right.
They didn't even ask questions. They just came and took the child. And so then it took her 4 months to get the child back.
Yep, that's our system today.
Unfortunately, yeah, CPS is not all that it's cracked up to be.
But see, there's another case of you're guilty
until proven innocent.
And it should be the other way around. You're innocent until proven guilty.
And it's scary that it's come to that in this country, when we were built on, our judicial system was built on innocent until proven guilty. And that's because things like this happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly why you should be innocent until proven guilty. And it's scary that it's like flip-flopped in today's society.
Today's society, I'll tell you, is going down so fast.
Oh, yeah, it is. I mean, everyone always says it. That these kids are just crazy and they're ruining society, but really, society has taken a big downfall, just in my lifetime.
Yeah, and if you see who a lot of these nuts are out there, it's not kids, it's adults
acting like crazy people.
I forgot I don't want to get off your topics, but
no, it's okay.
I forgot what show I was listening to, and one of the guests said that this, what's going on in the country now, mirrors what happened in the 30s in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw on TV where you're not supposed to call them mobs anymore, but this mob in Portland, Oregon, stopped these cars with people in it and were harassing them and shaking the cars. And one was an old lady the police were standing by and they can't do anything to these people because they were told by the police chief not to interfere.
Mm-hmm.
And one guy got out of the car and they started to beat him, and the police still wouldn't do anything. One guy tried to run over like four protesters, and they weren't really protesting anything. They were just, it was like a mob rule.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now a lot of these left-leaning stations are saying you don't call these people mobs. And they're a group of people. Well, they are mobs. I mean, they're doing really illegal things. They're bothering people when they're just driving by. They were stopping cars, blocking cars, and then harassing the people in them, and they didn't even know who they were.
Right.
And it was terrible. I mean, they showed it on TV, and these people are like gone berserk. And they said that's what's happening in this country, or just mirrors what's going on in Germany, where the mob is starting to rule, and then they're easily taken over by someone with like opinions.
Yep.
And
I mean, I don't want to follow the trend and say that we are following so-called like Nazi Germany, but because I mean, I don't think we can compare ourselves to that.
Oh no,
obviously. But the political scene before all of that, before the Holocaust and everything, we're definitely starting to look like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there'll ever be somebody in history that would be like Hitler, that would kill so many.
Oh, I'm sure there is somebody that would if they got the power. There's definitely people that if they got into power, they can.
And I guess there have been other people, now that you think about it, like Cambodia or in the Middle East, the two religious factions, you know, the.
And then
Saddam Hussein was eliminating one.
Was it in Africa and Libya?
Yep.
I
know that's tough too. So I guess there are people like that, but you know, they were saying it's like the 6 years before Hitler took power that it was mob rule, and then those people were easily taken over because they thought that that's the way to go, and they had the power to do things. I don't know. It's just like you said, it's a scary time in U.S. history.
Just because everyone is so outraged over the silliest stuff and not caring about the important stuff. And people are especially like, I hate taking left and right and like saying one side is worse than the other. I mean, there's ridiculous things going on for both. But you see it so much in the left that they're going absolutely berserk over, and that they're with the mobs too. And they call it protesting, but it's violent. It's by no means peaceful. They're taking the right to protest and they're trying to stretch it. And they are easily swayed by people with like opinions.
Sure. Well, did you see, last week when they had the vote on, Judge Kavanaugh, all these people that were knocking on the Supreme Court doors that were closed?
Yes.
Okay. Now, did you know that those people were paid by George Soros to do that?
Really?
Yes. They were not they were paid protesters. So, I mean, you've got to put up with that too. And I don't know.
They were also saying, they're coming out and they're saying, just believe woman.
Yeah.
And so that was a... that was a battle cry through the trials. Just believe women.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, even women are disagreeing with that. That's crazy. Like, these people are just getting so far out there.
Right.
And they have a big following. The left has a huge following. And they're getting these crazy people out there saying the most ridiculous stuff. And people are going along with it.
Yep.
And the just believe woman thing, no. Don't just believe anybody, because just because you're a woman doesn't mean you're not going to lie.
You're 100% right. Yeah. Right?
You're not telling the truth 100% of the time just because you're a woman. That doesn't make sense. There's a lot of liars out there.
Oh, yeah.
That are
well,
women.
Not only that, but I mean, there's a large group of women, and I forgot who was on TV. It was one of the leaders of the group. It was Mother's... I can't remember what it was, but they were against this group for what is it? Me Too.
The Me Too
movement. Me Too, because they said they had a son, And they were afraid of what could happen to their son. A woman can make an accusation and their son's life could be over. And they said, now, if it could just be where a woman would make an accusation and they could have a trial with witnesses, then if their son did it, then that's fine. He should be prosecuted. Right. But all it needs is an accusation today and the male is found is guilty.
Right.
And like they're afraid because they had sons. And I'm sure you're like that. What if Noah grows up and some girl says, you know, he raped me, and they're going to take Noah away without any check or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it may take
guilty
years
until proven innocent.
Right. It may take years and a lot of money for you to prove that he didn't.
Right.
But see, then the stigma's attached to you, even if he's innocent.
Yeah. Yep.
It's crazy.
It is absolutely crazy just what we're going through today. Revolution.
That's talked about more and more.
Mm-hmm. I think we're due for something. We're due for some kind of drastic change.
Because we lost the ability. I was talking with a guest on my show, my Skidmore show last week, and we've lost the ability as a country to disagree on things, but then walk away as friends.
Yep.
And tend to agree to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I may disagree with you on things, but we still are friends.
Right.
Because we can engage in a debate and not go crazy and shoot one another.
Right. Yeah.
But we've lost that ability in this country.
Mm-hmm.
You're either on one side or you're on the other. And
you're either right or you're wrong.
Right.
That's how most people view it, that their opinion is right and the other people's is wrong. And that's why I've come to love like the libertarian side so much, because it's not whether you're right or wrong. It's whether you're moral or not.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you're consistent with your beliefs or not. And it's like, okay, you take things and you look at it and you say, well, does this go against the non-aggression principle? Does this, having this program, mean you steal people's money? Does X do Y, and you apply it to everything. And it's not whether it's right or wrong, because you could argue that social programs are right and they're good because they help people. But they're not looking at it as the point of, okay, is it right to steal people's money? Mm-hmm. Like, how are you paying for this? Well, you're taking taxpayer money out of their income. And is that right to do? And so you can argue who's right and wrong and what needs to be done and what should be done, but a lot of people just don't apply morals to it, just basic morals. And so that's what's so appealing to the libertarian side for me, is just because we're against war, we're against taxing as much as possible, small government, just because it's so much simpler and just it's basic morals and principles that mm-hmm. everyone should have. Just be nice to each other. You can disagree with it, and there's a lot of disagreement over here, like with the whole Facebook thing going on, but anyway, so with that being said, we do have the midterm elections coming up very soon. Larry Sharpe's on the ballot.
Yes,
he's gaining way. I forget what recent polls said, but polling is such a joke because they're all influenced differently.
Yeah.
None of them are right.
And the amount of people they sample's not.
Right.
I mean, look at what they did with Trump. I mean,
Right.
He was at the bottom of every poll.
Right.
He didn't have a chance.
Trying to influence people that there was no way for him to win.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I feel like he has a good shot just because I looked at a map of all the events that him and his, running mate, Andrew, mm-hmm. have been to, and it's all over New York, all over to the highest points up by Canada, out to the west, upstate area.
Yeah.
It's amazing just how much he's done. This guy's been doing like 3 to 4 events a day.
Wow.
And that's crazy.
Yeah, but you know, I think he has to do that to get out in people's faces, because let's face it, he's not a household name.
No.
Like Cuomo and that. So by reaching as many people as he can.
He's been trying to reach people that that don't vote, mm-hmm. because they're sick of it. Because no matter what they do, Cuomo wins. But he's right. trying to say, look, all the people that don't vote could make a difference if they all got together and voted. And I think that's a lot of people get the mentality that your vote doesn't matter. But so many people have that mentality that if you all voted, you'd make a difference.
Every vote counts.
It does.
Even if it's, you know, you're voting in a state or a national.
It, like, and counts. Even the more local you get, the more it counts.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, if you're sick of New York and you're sick of the political atmosphere, get together with people to make a change. And
that's
so,
right. And it does every vote count. Here last year in Saratoga, we tried to push for a new form of government, and over 9,000 votes were cast, and it lost by 10 votes. So
that's close.
That is
that
very
is super close.
Close. That is less than like 1/100th of a percent, and so. It counts.
Yeah.
Your vote counts.
And I mean, I've been rooting for Larry Sharp, and even if he doesn't win, he has reached so many people and gotten people to think that the next election could be easier to win.
Sure. Well, he's raised awareness.
Mm,
and I mean,
yes.
It's just like, whether you like him or not, it's just like Trump did. I mean, he wasn't a political insider. But he raised awareness on what was going on and what he could do to change that. And he has changed a lot of things. And I think people are looking for that. They're looking outside the box of just Democrat.
People are definitely looking for outsiders.
Republican, yeah.
And I mean, a Republican's never going to win in New York.
No.
Never. It's just a waste. But I mean, nobody really... We're such a blue state.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because what I've heard from the campaign, from Larry Sharp's campaign, is libertarians are more Republican than the Republicans and more Democratic than the Democrats.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
because Republicans are supposed to be limited government, mm-hmm. limited spending, but they'll always spend for military no matter what.
Right.
They will spend just as much as the Democrats will, but for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're over here like, no, be conservative. You say you're a conservative. Be conservative. And then you got the Democrats over here trying for like rights, people's rights and everything. And we're over here like, but no, you're stealing from people. You're taking their right away from their money that they earned. So... A strong thing on his campaign has been saying we're more Republican than the Republicans and more Democratic than the Democrats. And it's true.
Yep.
It's like we're kind of trying to bring it together because really these two entities are really the same thing. And so the Libertarian Party is trying to show that they're not what they say they are. And hey, give us a chance.
Right. And I think, you know, like you said, maybe not this election, but in future, because the state is 2-1 in the Democrats' favor. But people have to see, like Cuomo, people have to see that the people around him were arrested for tons of things. And some of his programs that he's even proposing are nonsense. And... So I think you can, as a new party, or not new, but as an independent or libertarian party, you can sway some of those Democratic voters. Because
a
2-1, you're not going to,
yeah.
2-1, you're not going to elect a Republican.
Right.
I don't care.
No.
I mean, not unless the governor goes out and shoots somebody in the head, mm-hmm. and then you got a shot of getting rid of them. And even then, I think he'd win. But, Yeah, you need a third party that can pull votes from
people. The are other more two. Likely to vote third party now than they have been, because they're just so sick of the Democratic Republican duopoly that we've had. Well, because they're not doing anything that we want them to do.
No. So, and they're both the same.
Right. So everyone's just trying to look for something different.
Right.
And this is the perfect time for third parties to start coming around.
And because, again, I was talking with my guest last week who, you know, isn't a politician, but he studies politics, and he was an economist for think tanks and that. But he was saying, and I believed, and as I said to you, when Ross Perot ran, I mean, he had quite a large following, but he was too old to carry that on. And he used a lot of his own money. But if that could have been carried on through, I think you would have seen a third party or even a fourth party be more prominent in the state and the country.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got to have more than just two parties, because then you split the country and 51 people could outrule 49, or 51% will outrule 49.
Yeah.
But yet, there's still just the same amount of people that wanted something different.
Well, that's just, and like it's crazy, with the charter vote. It lost by 10 votes. So half of the city wanted one thing, half of the city wanted the other. And by 10 votes, they got it. Mm-hmm. And that divided the city.
Right. I mean, and it's just not right. If you have more options and more diversity, it's going to be a closer race, and more the person that's going to win out of a whole bunch of people is going to be the one that more represents the best choice.
You're not going to have the same rhetoric. You're going to have you're going to have a different opinion, a different view. I mean, whoever's in power has this viewpoint, and the person running against them will take the opposite point. But when they get elected,
it's they're gonna be the
doing
same.
The same thing. So I think you need somebody with a completely different system.
Yes, just not just opposite of right. what's there, but like completely different
and
something
change.
Radical.
Something change. I mean, you know you're not going to get any change if let's just say the Republican does beat Cuomo. You're not going to have that big a change in New York.
No.
I mean, it's going to be the same old thing.
Yeah.
But if you get Larry to win, I heard him on a
There's
talk show.
There's going to be a lot of change.
Yeah. I heard him on a talk show. It was one of the national talk shows. And he was given the reasons, you know, what would happen if he got elected. Because the host said, you know, if you get elected, what are you going to do? And he was naming things that I'm saying, oh,
people
my
would have never
gosh,
thought of.
No. And it's like,
I think the best thing I've heard him say is the bridge thing. Why can't we have Staples on the bridge?
Yeah.
Well, never thought about that before. That's a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, he was talking about communities and taxing, and he said what I would do, one of the first things I would do is get rid of state mandates and make each county have their own mandates. He said,
yes,
should we tell areas what to do, that
right.
all the areas have to do it, when some of them may not need those services?
Right. Because, like, New York City is so completely different than, like,
upstate New York.
Saranac Lake.
Yeah.
It's so, they're completely different places, different, just different living.
And different needs.
Basically, different needs.
Different needs. I mean, they may not need some of the services that New York City
right.
has to have, but we have to pay for them because it's a mandate from the state. Same way schools.
Yep.
I mean, they mandate school so that the teachers can't do what they want to do is teach. Mm-hmm. And because it's state mandated, they have to do this. Well,
right.
maybe good down in New York State and Albany, but upstate.
Not up here.
Yeah. You know, when you have one elementary school and one high school or a central high school, you don't need all those mandates.
Right.
So he was really...
He really focuses on the local entity. He goes, why should I have to govern the entire state and say that what's good over here is going to be good over there? He goes, it should be up to the counties and the towns and the communities. They should be in charge of this.
And, you know, then you go to the state and say, we would like a grant for, you know, for this, but not mandate it so you have to pay for it and not need anything.
Right.
That. So he was really, I mean, the host was really impressed. And like I said, it was a national show. It wasn't just a local. And he really gave it out, and it was sensible. And that's the great thing about, like we talked about, debate. If you can debate rationally and have your opinion and the other person have their opinion and you respect it, you may pick up some things from the other person that you never even thought about.
Right, yeah.
So why stick fast to, well, what I believe is true, and I'm not even going to listen to you because you're crazy and
right,
all the
yeah.
thing. But you may say something that says, you know what, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So that's rational debate, and you can agree to disagree, but then you may, that's why I always like talking to people that don't believe the same thing I do, because you may get some things out of it.
Right, yeah, we learn. Yeah. And so hopefully we can get some change in this state, election November 6th. And you can easily find out where you need to go. Online, and the hours are open pretty early. I think 6 a.m. for me, 6 to 9. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can go to your county election board, type that in on a search, and it'll tell you where
exactly
to go
where,
vote.
Yeah. And your employer has to let you vote if you have to leave work for it. Say you work crazy hours and you absolutely have to leave work, they legally have to let you go vote.
Yep.
So there is no excuse. No excuse not to vote.
And it gets more and more important that everybody votes every year. I mean, every year it
every
gets
election.
More important to vote. Years ago, you know, people just didn't care. But now there's so many things that are so mixed up that everybody has to vote.
Yeah, everyone has to get out there. Because if everyone that doesn't vote gets out there, they can make a difference.
Yes.
Yep. That's what happened. That's exactly what happened with Trump. He pulled out people that weren't voting.
Exactly.
And he got a huge, huge following.
And now the Democrats are nervous about him, not only because of a lot of things, but Democrats have always relied on the black vote. All right. And now, since Trump, with the economy and that, and the unemployment rate for black workers is 3.3%, and that's never been that low in history. So now there's more blacks that are for Trump because he's spurred the economy and employed more diversity. And so Democrats are getting nervous because now they don't know how, you know, they used to get like 78% of the black vote.
Mm-hmm.
And now, and before, when Trump got elected, he got more black vote than Mitt Romney did. And up to that point, Romney had the most in, you know, modern history. And they're concerned because he's appealing to more people and he's doing things for different groups. More people are benefiting from his policies. So it's going to be interesting.
There's power in numbers.
Yeah.
Power
well,
in
you
numbers.
Know, the stock market went down 800 points this week in one day.
Yes, it's a good time to buy right now
yes.
if you're just getting into it.
But do you know why?
No.
Because it was a thing that they said they'd make Nancy Pelosi, chairwoman of Congress, if the Democrats won.
Mm-hmm.
And the stock market went down because they don't want the Democrats to lead because they'll go back to their old policies and they figure they'll do away with the tax break, raise the taxes that Trump lowered, do stuff. They like jobs overseas because they can make more money, and they said that's scary. If the stock market can do that in one day, what's it going to be like if the Democrats take over Congress? How far down is that going to go? And that's scary.
That's scary.
But. That's life today in the U.S.
That is life today in the United States. So I think I'm going to wrap it up there. Got stuff to do today.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, stock market. Well, maybe we'll talk a little bit about that next time.
Yeah.
I've been interested in it lately.
Well, you're working so hard, you probably got money to put into it.
I just put $5 in last week.
Neat. See, that's the way to go.
I made 8 cents already.
You made 80 cents?
Eight cents.
Good. Well, at least you made money.
Right. But yeah, maybe we'll talk about the stock market next week. So hope you guys all have a great Sunday. I got to go get some housework done.
Good. Yeah, you've been working crazy. Well, thanks. And you've been listening to Shakedown Shan. And we'll be back next week. And Shan will have some great topics for us. So everybody have a great week.